You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on Trucker Thursday. We're at a great lineup. We've got Gary Gresh, head coach at St. Norbert, coming on to talk about a big weekend they've got. We've got the Battle Buddy response team folks coming on for a veteran salute, courtesy of Olson Legal Group. We've got Red Semper and Jen Metcalf from the downtown Green Bay Cafe Crawl. We got John Snydergaard and Bill Jarts coming up to talk about the CP Telethon. But first,
should I let him go? It's Syndergaard.
I'll say it's Syndergaard.
What did I say?
Syndergaard. Yeah,
that's all right. You were.
But first, we're going to talk about something. Yesterday was the very first, but the 80th anniversary of the most. I don't even know. There's a bunch of words you could use about the Battle of Iwo Jima. I mean, movies made about it, books written about it, huge things talking about it. And sometimes people might think, you know, was it mythical? Is it really? So I'm just going to read an excerpt from one of my books. This gentleman is from my book, Frontlines. I'm not doing this to sell books. I just want you to know what really happened there. And we've got a young lady here whose grandpa is a veteran. But so I just want to say, this is my friend, Orville Matty, okay? There was no rest. After one hill, we went to what they call the amphitheater. It was a huge flat field with huge boulders the size of houses. The other side was wooded. By the time we left, this whole area had a new nickname, the meat grinder. We tried getting across it, running, dodging. They were up above us and hitting us pretty good. Once we did get across, we realized we didn't have any place to go. That's when they really laid the mortars on us. We were trapped. Guys all around were getting hit, getting killed, getting wounded. You could see us, but once again, they could see us, but once again, we couldn't see them. By this time, we were getting a lot of replacements. Young kids right out of boot camp. No experience at all. These kids hadn't even practiced with live ammunition, and they get tossed right into this hell? You felt like a father with a bunch of young kids, but they had to weather the storm. There was only so much you could do. After the meat grinder, we had one more hill to take. This is where I got hit. It was March 8th, D-Day plus 18. We were on a cliff. I had just set my boys in position for the night when all of a sudden I heard this tremendous explosion. And I thought, what in the hell kind of artillery are they throwing at us now? Well, what happened was a mortar shell came in, set off a satchel charge that one of my boys had with him, blew it sky high. All my boys got wounded, every one of them. But because the explosion went straight up, not a single one was killed. Can you believe that? My radio guy said, hey, look at this. He'd been holding the phone to his ear, and the antenna was sliced right off. He barely got those words out. When another mortar shell landed in the hole with us, we both got hit. I took shrapnel on my back and my side. I actually didn't even think I was wounded. It felt more like somebody had given me a really hard kick. When I stood up, I felt something warm running down the back of my legs. I thought, oh, God, don't tell me it's blood. Turns out both of my canteens were ripped apart. It was water. Orville Matty on Iwo Jima 80 years ago right now. Beth Parker is joining us right now with pictures of her grandfather. And Jim and I were talking about how we send kids to war. Your grandpa right there, oh, man. He looks like he'd be like serving mass at the cathedral in Neenah, doesn't he?
Or ice cream, you know, just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was freshly graduated.
From Neenah High School?
Yes.
All right, yep. So 18, 19.
Yes, he was 18, and then, yeah.
Wow.
He was put in.
And I think what we were talking about before is that you're fortunate that he talked about this a little bit.
Yes, I completely am.
Well, you're also fortunate he snuck in a camera illegally.
Well, that's true, too. He documented it.
He was pretty fearless when it came to that. And I guess at that age, you know, it's probably a good thing. And, you know, they weren't supposed to have, you know, any media or anything to show.
Right.
And he would just keep a little camera right in his front pocket. And I said, well, aren't you worried about, you know, getting caught for that? Or don't you think that they're going to take it away? And he's like, they wouldn't bother me.
You know why they didn't want people to do it? That or keep diaries, because they thought if that person was killed, then when the Japanese would go through their bodies or go through their, you know, uniforms and everything like that, and they would find things that possibly could help. you know, the Japanese, because they would turn all that stuff over to their intelligence people, too.
Uh-huh.
And they would use that against them in some way. So that's why they forbid it.
Well, that one makes sense.
But, like, you know what the guy said who did do stuff like that? Or they could do send me to Iwo Jima?
You
know, what's the worst thing?
You're
take me back to the United States and put me in the brig? Okay.
That sounds fabulous.
But now your grandpa actually collected some really cool memorabilia.
He sure
from
did.
Iwo Jima.
Yes, he did. He brought some sand home. There's a couple of bottles of that. He also got a patch of a Japanese soldier. And then he also had a Japanese letter that he had picked up from a soldier on the beach. And Lawrence University actually helped translate it for him.
You know, I've got a couple of flags that I got from my guys. What they would do, the villages where these Japanese soldiers came from, the Japanese soldiers, a lot of times the villagers would actually make them, and then they would all sign it. Mm. Basically, good luck, good luck, good. And those guys would carry that in their packs. I've got two or three of them that guys had given me. I would love to get one translated.
Right.
Well, Lawrence, they're going to put it to music.
Yeah.
What I think is, I would give your grandpa some credit. I think a lot of people gather stuff now because it's like the thing to do, right? And some of the movies, you know, getting the sand and all that. But that was pretty innovative on him to say, look, I'm going to cap. This is history we're making right here. For him to know that at 19 years old, like, I'm going to.
To me, it's mind-blowing and extraordinary. With him, even the gun that he got when they went into Tokyo to sign the peace treaty and they had to surrender all their arms. And he took one of the guns and he mailed it back home to.
Wow. Do you still have that?
We do.
That's cool.
And there's actually, you can tell on it where the emblem was of the Japanese sign, and you could tell where they were rubbing it off because they knew that it was such a disgrace to their family to have, so they were trying to remove that.
I would be interested in how much something like that is worth. But have you taken it to like that those roadshow things and to come on the bottom and tell you what's?
No, I haven't. And to me, it's completely priceless.
I get that. That's why I was. I totally get that. I was just curious.
Could be to a collector.
I think I did look it up one time, and it was like only $175.
Oh, really?
We'll surprised. Give you $200.
But that was a long time ago.
We'll display it right here. Did it affect his life? Do you think?
You know, for as much as I remember about my grandpa, he was always a very strong, good man, and he was very proud, I think, for his country. And I think the thing that I learned later on after he passed away, that my dad had told me that he had asked God and asked him to make a deal with him if he would let him go home and survive and live, that he would go to church every Sunday. And he definitely was at church every single Sunday.
Wow. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to uncover something here.
Pretty good.
I made one of those vows with God, too. I vowed. This is a true story.
And ended up in radio.
I went in the bathroom. And I got on my knees. And I said, God, if you let the Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys in this game, I will become a priest. True story.
Packers lost?
Yeah, no, they won.
Yes. Oh.
John.
So you didn't go good on your...
Have time.
Oh, my God. No, yeah. You don't.
So I got some explaining to do when I go up there.
That your next stop should have been confession.
I know
you
that.
Bargain with. Wow, I can't believe you told that story. Mm. I thought if the Packers would have lost, then you would have been like, oh yeah, that he didn't keep up his end of the deal. Neither did I.
Well, but, God, it's a Packer fan, so
we all know that. We all know that.
Beth Parker from Neenah with some great stuff from her grandpa who was at Iwo Jima 80 years ago today.
At Iwo Jima, I think people have heard of it, but it's really memorialized. Talk a little bit about flag raising.
You feel pride in that when you see all these kind of things?
It's yes.
My
definitely.
Grandpa was there.
Right.
It is something that, you know, it resonates with inside me all the time, and it wows me. I mean, there's not even words to even describe how symbolic...
Right.
It is that he actually was there and he lived through it and he can even talk about it and, you know, show these pictures that he had that are in black and white and just to explain, you know, what he went through and how he described it as, you know, it really made men out of us. I mean, you're fresh right out of high school, 18 years old, and you're listed as a Marine, but then you're put into the Navy because they needed radio men and... the things that he told me, you know, when they were on his ship, that when they were coming up to Iwo Jima, that all the bodies were still in the water, and nobody had collected them yet. And to be able to, I mean, just to see something like that right. has to be so traumatic. And I wonder if, you know, a lot of that stuff just didn't even process with them, or maybe their adrenaline was just going, or they just were so focused on, you know, defending
soldier
their country.
Soldier mode, they just yes. got right into mm-hmm. it and nothing
I'll
else really
I'll tell
you really
one
mattered.
Thing that guys had told me, because I've asked that exact same question, and their attitude was, you know, we were just, I mean, as we felt horrific for these guys, mm-hmm. okay? But we didn't know if we were going to be alive in 2 days, and it was going to be our buddies that were pulling us out. So you didn't have a lot of time until after you came back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No.
Right. And that's, yeah.
And I think, I mean, you know, they say, you know, you know the future, study your history. And you, and I would just encourage you, and I said this last time, but I just think these are, Johnny and I had a friend, Furman Balza, that was on, in Pearl Harbor. He was on the ship. And right. he was, I think he was even younger than 19. I think he was 18 when he was on there. And he was, and he'd go to these schools, and you could hear a pin drop when you talk to these kids, which they would do for you too, because it's real. They all think this is ancient history, and we're the Romans. And
but you
it's
know,
like,
you know what's I mean, you know what the number one thing Furman always used to talk about that you'll never forget? Bodies in the water.
Oh yeah,
and the same thing that your grandpa said. Right. There's something about seeing those bodies
your friends.
In the water.
What did you see your friends in the water? You know, right. That's just, I know. It's not just down. Bodies. It's just
right.
like
right. And yeah, and to hear him even say too that, you know, the night before they were pulling up, that all he felt so bad for all the Marines because they all were crying because they knew the next morning that they were going to be dead. And I mean, that's
wow. Well, like Bernie Neville said on my Facebook post, the ship next right next to them got hit with a shell directly. Mm-hmm. All those guys they'd had breakfast with.
Mm-hmm.
1890, he said they look like they should be getting ready for a high school basketball game.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the part that, and when you bring in these pictures, the original pictures that your grandpa took and is in from Iwo Jima and his days in World War II, it's like that song by, was it Jamie Johnson? You should have
yep.
seen it in color.
Yep.
Boy,
yep.
does that resonate yes. with these pictures.
Yes, that song was just when the day that my grandpa sat me down and he's like, oh, I want to show you some pictures. And it was just the way that everything just pedaled out, it was exactly like the song. And it was so clear. But it was so much for me to process at the time. And for him to be able to talk about that and share with me.
Wow.
80 years ago today, your grandpa, 18 years old. One of the worst battles we ever had, Iwo Jima, the flag raising, the whole thing. Well, although you said he didn't actually physically see the flag raising because he was too busy stealing stuff.
He was pictures.
Prying some lettering off of a Japanese plane.
There you go. Yeah.
And that is actually on display at the VA hospital in Appleton.
Beth Parker, stick around. We're going to set a break. Gary Gresh, join us next.
Gather around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Marine that went to war.
Welcome back. Johnny Cash, hard. Battle of Ira Hayes. We're being joined by Beth Parker, granddaughter of an Iwo Jima veteran, which is the 80th anniversary. But right now, we've got Double G Gary Gresh, head coach at St. Norbert Men's Basketball. They're on a roll.
How are you?
Got a big game coming up on Saturday, heading towards the tournament. GMAC, good morning.
Good morning, Mino Mayor. How are you guys?
Outstanding. How are you?
We're good.
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Are you? You're on a roll. I mean, you are. This is unbelievable watching you. Do you sleep? Do you get excited? Or I mean, how? Because I'm just curious. Because I think, I mean, this is gonna be a big game for you Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, this time of the year, it's exciting. By the end of the night, I'm tired. I fall asleep easily, but then I'm up early. There's always something you're thinking about. What comes next for the day? Your preparation for the next practice game. So. I say I fall asleep okay, but then I'm tossing and turning and up pretty early thinking about what's to come and looking forward to this game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying turn it around for you, GMAC, but it seemed like you found your footing a few weeks back and you guys have really been cruising. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think we're cruising by any means, but Some of it was our schedule, right? Like in the Christmas tournament, we lost to Platteville in overtime, who was number, I think, 5 in the country at the time. We went to Calvin for a non-conference game in Michigan, which was a long overnight trip. And then we were at Wisconsin Lutheran, who's winning our conference right now in first place. And then we lost a game at Concordia, Wisconsin, close, where we had a 10-point lead in the second half, lost at Aurora. So it was a little bit of a tough stretch where we weren't playing well, but then the quality of the opponents and being on the road was tough. And then since then, we figured things out a little bit. We're on an 8-game winning streak. We won a close game at Benedictine. So we've been in a lot of close games here. I guess 3 of them were not in doubt. We won at Lakeland, won at home against IIT, and then won just recently at Concordia Chicago on Saturday, and that was a possession game down to the wire. So I don't know if we're not rolling over teams, but we're winning.
You're fighting away.
Games. And you're exciting to watch. I think that's cool.
GMAC, last week we had Jeff Nordgaard and Ryan Borowitz on our show, and we were just talking about how that era of players that you guys had at Green Bay, how your kids have all turned out to be such great athletes. You know, a lot of times you grew up around a coach or whatever, you know, it's like, I've had enough of that. You kind of go other, but wow, your daughter at Wisconsin, your son at St. Norbert, Gary Gresham, or excuse me, Jeff Norgaard's sons, both playing, you know, scholarship level sports. Ryan Borowitz has a couple of kids that are amazing. It's pretty cool what your little group has done. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and it makes you realize that we're all getting pretty old now, that they're all in college and moving on to the next level. And
but yeah, we don't.
It's neat just to see how they've developed over the years, just watching these kids grow up in grade school, high school, and now a lot of them are heading off to college and having a pretty good, successful career so far.
But we don't see you getting them out of bed at 4 o'clock and shooting free throws either.
No.
Hey, gee, I can see that happening with your kids, but not from you, Mama.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was good, I'd say, breeding by my part, picking Liz, because they got her skill level on the offensive end. They didn't quite get my defense, but they got her skill level on the offensive end. Let's put it that way.
How's your daughter enjoying Madison?
She loves Madison. As all freshmen, it's an adjustment. Yeah. She's playing at the highest level. I think the majority of that league on the women's side, just like the men's side, is going to play in the NCAA tournament. So they have Northwestern at home on Sunday, but then they'll have UCLA at home on Wednesday. And then just the resources that they have, like they're chartering into these places, they're home that same night after the game. So the facilities, the resources, how they're treated at the level is amazing. I think she's adjusting to not winning as much as she was used to at Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just starting over and not playing as much as she was used to at Notre Dame as well.
Okay, so
it's
just
been a little bit of an adjustment for her, as it is for all freshmen.
I just want to say one thing. It'd be kind of cool to say, hey, I can't do that this weekend. I'm going to watch my daughter play against UCLA.
Yeah.
That's
we've been fortunate. They played a number of Sunday games for, and I think we talked about this, the Big Ten on the women's side for TV and broadcast. They play a lot of Sunday games, so I've been very happy. Like, we play Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday's our day off. So I've been able to see a number of their home games, and then I was at Minnesota. We went down to Purdue on a Sunday. So I've been pretty fortunate that way to see a number of her games, where originally, when you think about it, like, I'm not going to see any of them other than being streamed on the Big Ten Network or Big Ten Plus, we've been able to see a lot of them in person.
And how's the charter going for your team?
Yeah. Well, hey, we have the charter bus, Mayor.
Jim's in a lot.
Mino would remember the days at Green Bay. We were on these 9-seat prop planes, we would take 3 of them and then charter that way. But theirs is a little more stable. I mean, the turbulence on those prop planes was pretty rough.
GMAC, do you remember that one game? I have no idea where we flew to, and everybody was kind of sick. I remember guys getting out of these little planes and, like, wobbling because they were ready to barf. Do you remember that game, G?
Oh, yeah. That was the Detroit Wright State trip, because I was one of those guys that got sick on the plane with the turbulence.
Wow. Everybody got off the plane, Jim. Sick. It was, I hated though. I used to have to sit next to the pilot all the time because obviously I was the shortest. So, you know, you got, and the guys need some leg room in back. Oh, and I'm sitting there, like I said, from Detroit or something. It seemed like it was, that was, I hate to say it now in retrospect, G-Bank. That was kind of scary in a certain way, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was rough. Yeah, you're bouncing around and going up and down. And they tell you to make sure your seatbelts are on. Yeah, the ones, the Wisconsin, they're more of the jet type, and they charter in, charter out. So
that's awesome.
It was nice when we were there because we can get there and get back the same night, but the prop planes and the turbulence was a little rough.
Oh, man. Greatest feeling in the world was when you landed in Green Bay.
Yeah. Just like the Pope, kiss the ground.
Kiss the ground. G-Mac, give us one more time what you got coming up this weekend, buddy, and then down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, we're celebrating our five seniors this Saturday against Marion at home at 1:00. So it'll be a lot of emotion. Those kids have been through a lot, and my son Garrett is in that group.
Right.
And then next week, the conference tournament starts. We're locked into the 2 seed, so we're going to be at home next Wednesday against the 7 seed. If we win that game, we'd be at home next Friday, and then probably on the road the following Sunday, hopefully for the conference tournament championship and the automatic bid. But home this Saturday at 1:00 and then home Wednesday at 7:00.
Sounds great, G-Mac. We'll be following you. Best of luck to you. Really appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thanks, Mino Mayor. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Gary Gresh, head coach of St. Norbert men's basketball. Senior night coming up, or senior day coming up at St. Norbert. Beth, can you stick around?
Absolutely.
So we've got a group coming up for our veteran salute through the Olson Legal Group. Samuel Rock, Battle Buddy Response Team founder. Back right after this.
He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Protesters visited the DePere offices of U.S. Congressman Tony Weed yesterday to ask him and other Republicans to not cut the program providing health benefits to seniors, persons living with disabilities, and people with low incomes. The $800 billion Medicaid program is mostly funded by federal taxpayers. Republican lawmakers want to cut the program to stop fraud and careless spending and are floating an idea that would require tying work to Medicaid. Protesters argue the amount of Medicaid fraud taking place is very small. An Edison Middle School student in Green Bay made a social media post with what turned out to be a toy gun. But that post led to an investigation Wednesday by the Green Bay Police Department and school officials. A letter sent to Edison families and staff said the Snapchat post was thoroughly investigated and authorities determined there was no real threat to safety. Parents and guardians are asked to talk with their children about the seriousness of making threats. The school district said students who make threats, even as a joke, are subject to serious consequences, including criminal charges. A new report found Wisconsin students are still lagging behind pre-pandemic levels for math and reading scores. According to the Education Recovery Scorecard released by the Center for Education Policy Research at Harvard University, Wisconsin students are months behind in math and half a grade behind in reading scores. Despite the lower scores, the state still ranked 16th for math recovery and 30th for reading recovery. The report also found that over 80% of students are in districts that have not recovered to 2019 achievement levels. The Oshkosh Arena is announcing its first national show after Venue Works took over management of the beleaguered facility. Coco Melon's Sing Along Live embarks on its North American tour with a special event at the Oshkosh Arena on April 30th. Coco Melon follows JJ, his siblings, and friends on adventures that teach life skills through music and animation. General public tickets go on sale Friday, February 21st at 10 a.m. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Details coming soon. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks, Gary Gresh joining us. Big things happening for St. Norbert, especially with Senior Day on Sunday, of which his son is a very prominent member. We've got Beth Parker, a big advocate for keeping alive the memories of the Battle of Iwo Jima, which was where her grandfather was. Now we're joined by Samuel Rock, the Battle Buddies Response Team. And this is the Veteran Salute on Mino and the Mayor, brought to you by Nate Olson at Olson Legal Group, a veteran-owned business in Oshkosh and Berlin, specializing in estate planning, real estate, and all business matters. Visit them online, olsonlegalgroup.com. Todd, you disappoint me sometimes, buddy.
Why is that?
We're supposed to have an update with Mr. Olson if he got a sturgeon spearing this year.
I have not reached out to him, but I will, sir.
Well, I think if we haven't heard, he has not brought a sturgeon into his...
I think that would be a safe assumption.
Yes.
You think so? Maybe he's just busy. Maybe he's out there.
Oh,
you
know, no, that would be all
people
over.
People who get those, there's pictures, and they hang them up so they're like taller than the person. And,
Put it close to the camera so it looks bigger.
He did not.
Samuel Rock, we apologize that our sponsor of this has failed at sturgeon spearing.
But, yeah.
You okay with that, Samuel?
He's working it.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The guy that sponsors this segment for us, he's a veteran, wounded veteran in the area. He's an attorney. He's a sponsor of this segment that you're on right now. And he's a diehard sturgeon spearer. Have you ever heard of sturgeon spearing?
All right, well, let's move on.
Hey, Samuel, tell us a little bit about the Battle Buddy Response Team, please. Something that you started up.
Yes, sir. So I'm Samuel Rock, the founder of Battle Buddy Response Team. We are a suicide prevention organization that travels the nation checking on the welfare of veterans and their families. Anybody with any kind of concern whatsoever can reach out to us through our website, BattleBuddyResponseTeam.org. Click on Contact Us and let us know the person that you are concerned about. It could be any gut feeling whatsoever. We will respond out. We will check in on them in person. We do not call. We do not schedule a meeting. We will just pop in and knock on their door and see how they're doing. And I'm a combat veteran myself. Go ahead.
What I read about you, that in person is just, that makes all the difference in the world. You know, we've got this country that's moving to Zoom and teledoctors and all this other stuff. And that's got to be the most impactful part of your program.
Yes, sir. Whenever I created the program, I started creating it in 2015 opened it up in 2019. There was a lot of different programs out there where people call and people go to facilities, but I wanted to create a program where you actually go to them and provide the services right to them in person.
And is it from them reaching out to you, or is it somebody close to them reaching out to you?
Exactly. It's somebody close to them reaching out to us, because as a combat veteran myself, a lot of times when we're struggling, we don't want to burden somebody else. We don't want to tell nobody that we're struggling, but our loved ones, our neighbors, they see your normal routine. They talk to you all the time. They know when something's different. And you might think that they need space, but that might be the spot where you need to reach out to Battle Buddy Response Team and let us know.
And we've got a young lady here, Beth Parker. Today is the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Iwo Jima, and her grandfather was there. And I asked her, I said, did he talk about it a bunch when he came back? And she said he was given $500 with his other guys, given a train ticket from San Diego to Wisconsin, and said, never speak about this for the rest of your life. I think that's about as bad of a suggestion people could make these days, wouldn't you? Samuel, you there?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I must have bad service. I do apologize. What was the question?
Well, her grandfather was on Iwo Jima 80 years ago today. When they came back from the war, they were told, don't talk about anything you went through or saw to anybody. And in retrospect, that's about the worst advice you could give somebody, isn't it?
Oh, I highly, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's bad advice, but at the same time, the government, it just depends on what you're doing, what the classification is of the mission that you go on, of what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say. But at the same time, I don't have much to speak on that other than, that's, you know, that was then. And nowadays we have a lot better programming and a lot better services to provide for veterans.
And you guys want guys to open up, don't you? Guys and women. I always want to make sure I qualify that, because there are, if you're in Iraq or Afghanistan, as you know, there are a lot of women that served in dangerous situations.
Sorry about that, sir. I must be, I got 5G service. I'm on my way to another call.
Okay, no problem. Hey, you know what, Samuel? Here's what we're going to do, buddy.
Parking lot, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting the best
no
connection.
No problem. Samuel, we're gonna end this one right now. We're going to get you on again very soon when you're just better service location. Okay, buddy?
I don't think his service is working.
All right, Sam. Thank you, Samuel. Right, thank you, baby. Samuel, Battle Buddy Response Team. We'll get him on again.
What I want to talk to him about is this. You know, we're very concerned about suicide, right? When it comes to veterans. But what I like about, I want to talk to him about his program.
Right.
He seems like he meets with the family,
right?
When you read this, because I think there's a lot of one-on-one, but you know what? There's more to that. I mean, if you go through these interventions for teenage suicide or for I don't want to call it a power wheel. It's a support system that needs to be in the room. And I'm just curious as how that goes, because I think maybe that could be part of the answer to get everyone in the room instead of just this one-on-one, and they go home and clam up again. So anyway, I want to get him back on here. Yeah, we're sure that service
down the road.
Is good.
Yeah, right. No question. Beth, did your grandpa, or actually, let me ask you this: did your grandma ever talk about it? Because no matter what, usually they will confide to their wives when they come home, and sometimes that puts a heck of a burden on that wife as well. Did she ever talk about that?
Actually, she didn't. And she actually worked with the Red Cross and the government.
Oh, wow.
I never heard stories or anything like that. But it was fascinating to know that, you know, like I said, she worked with the Red Cross and, you know, she did something with the government, and I was never, ever fully.
Boy, your family was all in.
Yeah. I'm not sure there was a lot of pillow talk with the war. I don't know that, but it just seems like they're more comfortable talking to someone else who was there.
I agree. No question about that.
But
you know why, Jim? And I actually asked people, I asked kids or grandkids of my World War II veterans that I interviewed again. And I talked to one of the guys, finally opened up. I said, boy, your kids and your grandkids, they're coming up to me or emailing me and say, Mino, I had no idea my grandpa did. I had no idea. And you know what the guys told me? It's because you want to be looked at. If you're a grandpa, you're whatever, you want to be looked at as that solid as a rock, that stoic guy where, you know what I mean? By God, when I grew
up.
Patriotic. You know, nothing can hurt me. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they were hurt and they were very vulnerable, but they didn't want to show that side. They didn't want to show that they suffered to their kids and their grandkids.
Right. And I think that they probably, you know, didn't want to talk about it too. And just, you know, the amount of the emotional kind of guilt being in that position and, you know, not wanting that ever for their children too.
And, you know, that survivor's guilt is a big thing. I don't know a lot about it, but it's a true thing. It's a real thing that people deal with, and some of them their whole lives. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I just got to believe that no matter what, talking about something helps. And on anything. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
You got a text here. I got teary-eyed during Beth's segment, Mino. I own all your books, and my uncle was in France for D-Day and was a paraglider. Another uncle fought and was wounded in Guadalcanal. Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. I just got a text you sent me about your uncle. Those guys.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they tow you up, and there's a museum. I'll tell you what, Andrew, if you're listening, if your uncle was in the gliders, he needs to go to Kingsford and Iron Mountain, Michigan. They're both, I never know which town I'm in up there. They've got the Glider Museum. The National Glider Museum is up in Iron Mountain, and it's a plywood box with canvas and wings. And that's what they went up 10,000 feet in and got towed.
Oh, my God.
Then they unleashed the tow, and they're on their own. They're exactly like those little balsam gliders we used to have when we were kids.
Yeah.
That's basically the only way they can control them. They had nothing, and it was like many, many, many times the way they stopped was by hitting something on the ground.
But, okay, but like, what about a parachute?
There were no parachutes. They had no parachutes.
Wow.
If they got hit, they all went down together.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And many, many of them, And it's in the book. I'm giving you this book, by the way. Frontlines.
Okay, thank you.
And many of them, they would find, it's almost like in the movie Saving Private Ryan, yeah, where they would land fine and then hit a hedgerow or a tree, and they had no brakes.
Oh, my God.
They're just at the mercy of gravity to stop.
So how did they practice, or how would they know how to operate this stuff?
There was no practice. There wasn't a lot of practice.
So how did they convince these guys to be able to do
this? That's what I would say, but they didn't. There was no convincing. You just do what you're told.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess.
And you know what?
Now, today I might say, wait. You guys.
Let's have a coffee talk about this.
Slow down a little bit.
Well, here's the crazy part, though. So when one of the big companies, and they were built up in the UP, a lot of them were, okay? Because Henry Ford had plants up there, so they converted those to whatever. But I think it was in Kansas City or St. Louis. Like, they had the national debut of these things. They brought up, like, the mayor. They brought up all these people, these dignitaries. Dude, and it crashed, and they all got killed.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's awful.
Oh, yeah. And we still sent our troops into these things then.
In that same equipment?
Yep.
I didn't like the mayor anyway.
I mean, what? Come on.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. That's awful.
I know. I'm just telling you.
Okay, yeah.
But anybody, Andrew, if your uncle was in that, you must go to that museum up there. It's really something. And you know what? Okay, so then when the war ended, and they had a bunch of them, you know, left over that were like three quarters, they sold them for $5 a piece. You know what a bunch of guys used them for? Ice Shanties.
Oh, my right. gosh. That's what it sounded like when you were explaining it.
Ice Shanties and deer blinds.
Well, at least they made something out of it. They saw the positive
But that's what we sent our young 19-year-old men off to war in.
Oh, my goodness.
In like a flying ice shanty. Ugh. Yeah. Beth Parker is with us. Her grandpa was on Iwo Jima 80 years ago today. It is Trucker Thursday. Got some other great guests coming up. Talking about the Green Bay Cafe Crawl. Talking about the CP Telethon with Bill Jarts and John Syndergaard. Thank you.
Perfect. And Bill Jarts.
They treat me fine. Meet them by the thousands, the pleasure's all mine.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Truck drivers everywhere, some send out to me. Like Bill from Chicago, Al from Tennessee.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. It is Trucker Thursday, which is always a lot of fun. Once again, we got some folks coming on talking about the Cafe Crawl. We got Billy Jarts and John Syndergaard coming up talking about the CP Telethon. We still have Beth Parker here. You're fun to have here, Beth. We brought you in to
talk
once again about your grandpa's service to our country at the Battle of Iwo Jima exactly 80 years ago today, right now. But we want to talk about something else. We're giving the guy a hard time. Samuel Rock, who had no idea what we were talking about with Sturgeon Spirit. And I apologize for that. That was... Yeah, but I mentioned that, and you're like, oh, God, I used to work at a bar where people would bring in their sturgeon. Tell us about that, Beth.
Actually, this is funny. I just thought about this, too. There's a Kimberly Clark plant that's right along there, too, in Sherwood by the golf course. Mm-hmm. And I remember someone from down south was coming up to work. They saw all the shacks out on the ice. And they were really confused about it, and they had asked if that's where all the poor people live, because they thought that...
like a shanty town.
Yeah, like those were like the...
Oh, my God.
And then we don't have a lot of poor people in spring. Jeez, what was that guy thinking?
But, I mean, it's just, you know, probably a natural thought and totally innocent, but... and I'm sure that he was completely surprised and mind-blown when they're... like, no, we go sturgeon spearing, and when you come to Wisconsin, you're going to have a lot of fun.
So at the bar you worked at, or the establishment you worked at, people, would they come in with their fish?
Yeah, they would bring in their big sturgeon, and they would, you know, have the hook on it and just reel it right in and just...
Right in the gills.
You know, yes.
Bleeding.
Yes, and like the eyes are like sitting there like, and I'm just...
And it wasn't like, get out of here with that? People, they were embraced.
Well... I mean...
They love showing those things off.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
They always have those pictures of these ladies. There was a picture today in the paper. Here, a lady, and the fish was bigger than her.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, those things are pretty... yeah.
Those are like they're sharks.
Old. Well, I mean...
They're like a prehistoric
thing. Yes, they are. And you got High Cliff right there, and you have like all the fossils from... animal or the fish in there that, you know, died and then it built up. So yeah, they are prehistoric. And I mean, some of them, those probably 100 years old, if not more.
Yeah, they live that. But when you see, okay, well, you're talking about some of the fossils of them, they don't look hardly any different than one you'll go get right now.
Right, yep.
They didn't adapt or something. I mean, but they've done something right to live over 100 years.
Wow.
Right. And, yeah, it's...
So are they in there? Well, I guess they're in there all year. Like, do people, like, water ski and stuff? Wouldn't you be afraid of that?
Yes. Well, they are in there all year. I don't know where else they would go.
I thought after I asked the question, I thought that was a dumb question.
It wasn't Ed the diver. It was somebody else who scuba dived, recovery type person. And they said one time they're there, and all of a sudden there's this like 6.5 foot long sturgeon.
It's like a shark.
Staring
really?
Him in the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be just, ugh.
So how was that for you as a young bartender and they're dragging in these 5 feet long
dinosaurs? I don't know. I would always just shake my head. But I mean, I think right now. It's you could get away with it like back then, but now it's more of like a health code violation. And
there weren't a lot of codes back then.
Right.
Or up there.
You can, yeah, you can get away with so much, but not.
But that, but the thing like Jim was talking about with the deer hunters, a lot of them are mad now because they don't have those, you know, old registration stations like the U has, because that was a gathering place. By about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on opening day at the registration station in Krivitz, that was the population of that area went tenfold.
Right.
Because everybody would be there with a truck and a buck in it.
And the camaraderie, I think, is cool because, you know, hunting is...
No question.
It's not a solo sport.
Right. I think it's a huge Wisconsin tradition and...
600,000.
Yeah. Did you guys have... Because I remember in the town of Pipe. Remember the town of Pipe is? I think it was Bob and Linda's. First time I ever had, it was their sturgeon season special at the time. It was first time I ever had a patty of bratwurst and then cheese and onions and then a hamburger patty and then something else on top. Mm-hmm. And that was their sturgeon season special.
Right.
Do you guys have any? Oh, it was phenomenal with a big thing of onion ring. My mouth is literally, I'm not even joking, it's like salivating right now thinking of that thing and those onion rings.
Mine's going just the
Jim
opposite.
And Linda's, they would, if you were call ahead and if you're on your boat... You know, you get to the shoreline and they'll come and pick you up and bring you to the restaurant.
Wow, no kidding.
I mean, but that was, you know, back in the day. I don't know if they still do that or
not. That's cool.
Right.
That's cool. You know, you never see anymore, and I used to love tiger sauce. Whatever happened to tiger sauce in these bars? Do you remember that?
What is that? The mayo and the hot sauce?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you have the formula? Do you have the recipe?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Sounds like
that's all it is.
It's just the mayo and the hot sauce.
That's it?
Wow.
That's it.
Oh.
And then you just mix it together, and that's how you get
the
color.
What kind of hot sauce?
I don't know, just regular.
The hotter the
sriracha,
hotter the better.
Wow.
Hey, Beth, I mean, you're on here really because talk about the 80th anniversary, but do you honor your grandpa? Do you guys do something as a family? And you're obviously here. You were here last year, and we appreciate you coming in. But, you know, how you honor people on their birthday anniversaries. Do you do something?
Yes and no. I guess one of the things I wanted to do after my grandpa died, he used to volunteer at the EAA, and I went for the first time, and that was a huge honor to go there and, you know, for me to, you know, feel more a part of, you know, what he went through. And, you know, he was so avid with being, being able to go there and just see hands-on the flights and the airplanes and everything.
The military planes that they bring out there, it's unbelievable, the display they have at EAA for...
Okay, I want to say one quick thing. This year at EAA, they're bringing back the B-29 Super Fortresses.
Okay.
Okay? The Battle of Iwo Jima was fought for one reason. It was to save the crews of the B-29 Super Forces.
Well,
because when they would get wounded, or not wounded, but they get shot up, they couldn't make it all the way back to their bases at Tinian and Saipan.
Well,
and because of that, that's why Iwo Jima, that saved thousands and thousands, like 20,000 lives, they figure, the Battle of Iwo Jima saved for the Air Corps. So that was the main reason. And they're going to be at EAA. Beth, it's great having you here.
Yeah,
thanks for so much.
Yes.
Beth Parker, Iwo Jima, grandfather veteran. We're going to start a quick break. We'll come back to talk about the Green Bay Cafe Crawl. Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.